Before we get started, let me encourage you to go and get your Bible, a pen and paper if you want to take some notes. So just hit the pause if you need to. All right, now that you're back with your Bible and your pen and pencil or paper and you're ready to go, turn to Genesis chapter 17. That's where we're going to be today as we continue our little series on choices that we make at crossroads. As we have these decisions day by day, and so we want to look at those kinds of choices. Join me as we pray. Father, I pray now as we spend these few moments together that you will reveal yourself once again to us through your word. We thank you, God, that you have given us your word. And I pray now that our hearts will be soft, that our spirit will be teachable. Lord, that we will really spend these moments of time of worshiping you, and allowing your blessed Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and our lives, and that we'll live out our Christian faith. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the coronavirus demands a lot of decisions, and we're trying to make decisions the best we can all over the place. But one thing that you need to understand is not to be afraid. We don't want to live in fear. And there's some things that we know for sure. We know that God is in control. We know that God is sovereign. In fact, nothing happens without his permission. We know he's for us. And so we don't live in fear, but we live in faith. And we want to express that. We want to live that way. Now, each day we're going to face a lot of decisions. And some are little decisions, like, well, do I get out of bed? You know, what shirt am I going to put on today? What am I going to have for breakfast? All those kinds of things. But we also have big decisions at crossroads in our lives every day, I think. And one of those big decisions is walking with God. That's a big decision, that we're going to walk with God. Because, you see, walking with God is well, it's contrary to our culture, to where we live right now. Because when you walk with God, it requires some things. It requires time. And it requires some silence. Some ceasing from our striving, you know, running around. It takes listening, being still. And it's really interesting in our time that we live, you know, all this technology we have. I mean, you know, it's supposed to make life so much easier and less stressful. And, you know, Marcia just got back from California. And, you know, on the plane, all the planes have Wi-Fi, and they all have all these special gadgets and things, and everybody pulls out their laptop, and, you know, we have printers. Used to be you'd carry a printer in the briefcase. Now all your printers you can just hook right onto your cell phones. You know, all this stuff in our society. And yet the complexity and the pace has increased. It really hasn't slowed us down. And so all of this part of our culture runs counter to when God says, wait a minute, just be still. Just be still and know I'm God. Just be still and listen to me. Well, the last couple of weeks we've seen how Lot failed miserably with his walk with God. Because all of his decisions, you recall, were based on self and self-gratification. Me. It's my will. I don't care what anybody else says, what anybody else is doing. I want to do what I want to do. And he makes his decisions without thinking about anybody else. And his wife and his two daughters pay a tremendous price because he was all wrapped up in self. And I don't care. No one's telling me to get out. Well, his uncle Abraham has a whole different story. In fact, it is in Isaiah 41, verse 8, he's called a friend of God. Isn't that a great term? That Abraham's a friend of God. Well, would you want to be a friend of God? I mean, I think all of us do. Well, what made him a friend of God? In Genesis chapter 17, we're going to see how God relates with Abraham. And so there in verse 1, it says, just the first part of verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, okay, 99 years old. All right, just look up in your Bible, look up the verse right above that in chapter 16, verse 16. And it says, Abram was 88 years old. All right, so between the last of chapter 16, the very first of chapter 17, we've got about a 13-year gap here. Now, some people think, well, God was silent during those 13 years because in chapter 16, Abraham and, you know, Sarah, they disobeyed God, had some problems. I really don't think so. I don't think that's the deal here. I mean, after all, he is, God calls him a friend of God. So I think more than likely, nothing really significant happened during those times between Abraham and God, which God warranted or thought should be written down in Scripture. In other words, I think it was kind of an ordinary 13 years. We don't have any record. But sometimes we get hung up that every single meeting with God must be this extraordinary event. It must have great significance, because if it doesn't, it's just not worth having. We feel like when we open the Bible, we got to find something brand new. You know, oh, I've never seen that. I've never heard that. I've never read that before. Or we feel like, oh, I've got to be so convicted, you just fall in a heap. I remember in our church in Plymouth, there was a guy there who'd come out on a Sunday. And some Sundays he'd say, oh, Pastor, you really got after us today. You really stepped on my toes. Boy, you made me feel so bad. Oh, it was wonderful. I thought, are you kidding? Unless you feel under such tremendous conviction, you didn't worship? You know? Let me just say that it's very productive just to be with God. Just to be in his presence. It's really good just to read what you've read 100 times before. That's okay. Just to be silent and worship and reflect and be in his presence. And hopefully, that's what you're doing right now this morning as you listen to this. That you're just coming with a heart that wants to worship and love God and hear what God says. That's okay. To pray about the ordinary in your life. Not just about the virus. But ordinary things as well. Because much of what is involved in walking with God is very ordinary. We live it in the mundane, in the everyday. You know, when you hang out with some really good friends. I've got some really good friends and some I've had for many years. Dan and Doug, Ron, some others. And we don't have to do anything. We can just hang out. And we enjoy one another's company. You know, sometimes something extraordinary does happen. But it's the ordinary that makes the extraordinary possible. Our relationship with God is similar in that much of the time, it's ordinary. It's okay. But there are times, once in a while, that God does do something extraordinary. And that's really what's going to happen in chapter 17 of Genesis. Kind of moves from the ordinary, and it's all right just to hang out with God. There's something beautiful about being in his presence. But this is going to kind of move into the extraordinary. So look with me in your Bibles. I'm reading out of the New International Version, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. You notice there he is, that walk, this whole idea of walking with God. Now, he calls God there God Almighty. As you know, that's El Shaddai, or El Shaddai. God Almighty, the Almighty God he's talking about here. He goes on, starting verse 2. And then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So God, what he does now, he reiterates really the covenant that he's made 25 years ago, that God would bless Abram personally, and he reminds him that he will rise up nations from his seed, from Abram, and he reminds him that he'll make him the father of many nations. And now to signify that covenant, you looked at verse 5, go back to verse 5. He says, no longer will you be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. So there's a name change here. Abram, exalted father, and now he changes it to Abraham, Father of many. Father, not just to the Jews, but to all who will call upon the name of God as their Father. He says many nations here. Now, we're referenced here. This is a promise that is going to be open to Gentiles, say, not just to the Jewish nation, as Abraham is the father, but to all nations that come to know God. So number one, if you're writing down some notes here, let me just give you this. Number one, it's talking about walking with God involves living in the light of his promises. Did you get that? Walking with God involves living in the light of his promises. See, it makes all the difference in how we look at the day. So if you feel anxious about the virus, maybe you went to the store and you couldn't find anything that you were looking for, you know, or whatever. And if you have some of those needs, call the church. You know, we're trying to meet any of those needs that we possibly can. You know, just let us know. But more importantly, remember the promises of God. Remember his promises. You know, how often do you quote Romans 8:28? For you know that all things work together for good to those who love God and called according to his purpose. You know, we know that, we recite that, we say that, but do we really live it? You know, not that God causes all things, but he can take whatever that disaster is or what the evil one may be meant for evil, and he can weave it into good for our good and for his glory. And we can see God in the very midst of the storm. And you and I have the privilege and the opportunity now to demonstrate his love to a hurting world, you see. It's great to read God's promises. Maybe you just get a little book of the promises of God or just, you know, look, it doesn't take long just to start skimming through the Bible. Just who we are. That, you know, when you come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you have been redeemed, that you've been delivered, that you've changed from dark into light. That forgiveness is ours. That we've been adopted into the family of God, that we're indwelt by his Spirit, that he guides and leads us, he'll never leave us. All those kinds of promises. And as we live in the light of his promises, it makes a difference. It makes a difference how you see the rest of the day, how you see next week. Because we live on the promises of God. And he has the power to do what he promises. Jot down Romans 4:21. You can look it up later. Romans 4:21. It just talks about that. That he has the power to do what he promises. All right, back into our story. Verse 9. And then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. All right, number two. Fill this out when you're putting down for your notes. Walking with God involves listening for new directions. Walking with God involves listening for new directions. God introduces a new idea here. It's a redirection in his relationship. With Abraham. And so God says he wants to put a mark on Abraham as a reminder that, Abraham, you belong to me. It's a reminder of what we have together, Abraham. Now, can you imagine Abraham's thoughts? He says, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want, you know, I want you to get this flint knife. I want this circumcision. And Abraham's thinking, what? I'm not so sure that sounds all that great. Yet, that is what God introduces to Abraham. Now, don't forget, Abraham is 99 years old. And this is to be a permanent reminder of the covenant of our relationship. We need today, right now, guys, we need today to have a mark on us as a reminder of who we belong to. And he's not talking about a physical circumcision here, but a circumcision of our heart. We just studied this in Sunday school a couple of weeks back, you know, out of Romans chapter 2, verse 29. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. You see, that's what we need. It's a heart thing here, and it signifies who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, had not Abraham been listening to God, he would have missed this whole different new direction of their relationship. But Abraham was listening. He heard when God spoke. And I can't help but wonder, how many times have I missed God's redirecting of my life because of not listening? You know, take a moment right now and just ask yourself about that. You know, have I missed some redirecting God wants to give in my life? Have I just been kind of busy and moving and doing and not listening? You know, I always thought that I would be in Christian education. That's what I prepared for, you know, through college, through seminary. I did a lot more in education courses, and I really felt that that's where God wanted me to be. And not preaching, for sure, but teaching and education and developing programs. And that's where that's where I thought I'd be. And when I got out of seminary, I had some opportunities in Michigan to do that, some churches and contacts and things like that. But I'd really been praying and trying to listen to God, and I really believe that God wanted Marsh and I, we're married at the time now, to come back to Florida. And so that's what we did. Didn't have a job when we came back, but just trusted that that's what God was leading, and came back to Florida. And you know what was neat? God started then, and I didn't even know it at the time, but he started to redirect my life. Now, have you been quiet and slow down in giving God a chance to redirect your life? Or do you just have it all together and you don't really need to have God's input? You know, will God have a chance to break the ordinary and redirect your life if he wants to? Is he going to have that opportunity? So practically speaking, you need to set time alone with God each day. Because life is busy and things are pretty kind of chaotic right now, you know, very unsure of what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. We know God's got it under control, and yet sometimes we're stressed and we get busy and we're watching the news or we're not watching news, which is probably better. But you got to spend time with the Lord. You know, we talked about this last few weeks about Abraham building that altar. Man, so when you do that, now when you take some time, and maybe right after the sermon, just kind of sit and ask some questions. You know, ask like, God, what would you have in this relationship I have with this neighbor or this friend or this coworker or my spouse, whatever? And then listen. Boy, that's the key. You've got to listen. But ask God, God, what about this relationship? Or God, what would you have for the next step in my life? God, in my ministries. You know, maybe you can't get out as much as you did before. So, God, how do you want to use me in ministry? Or, God, how are you redirecting my life here? Or, God, what would you have for the next step in my marriage? How can that be enhanced? And, Lord, maybe we can start doing some different things together. Or in my parenting or my grandparenting. Lord, how can I influence my grandkids for you? Lord, how can I really impact them for Jesus? But then listen. Don't just say it and then zip right on doing your next thing. Listen. Just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you. See, that's part of that building that altar, that quiet time. Oh, Holy Spirit, speak. And I'll listen. Well, in verse 15, it says that God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come before her," or come from her, excuse me. It's the same kind of a deal we just saw here with a name change. Actually, Sarai, Sarah, both mean princess. But now the emphasis is on that she's going to be the mother of nations and of kings, you see. In verse 17, Abraham fell face down, and he laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man of 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Now, you know, there's a couple ways to look at this. I don't think this is a laugh of mockery, like, oh, you know. I think this is like, wow, how could that be? You know, I think it's that kind of a laugh. How could that be? I mean, oh, gee, that doesn't make sense to me. And now, Abraham gives God some advice. gives God a suggestion. You ever do that? You ever say, okay, God, well, let me just kind of give you an idea how to do this. You know, let me give you a suggestion, God. I think this is the way you should do it. Verse 18, and Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. You know, why don't we do this, God? Because, you know, I'm 100, she's going to be 90. I don't think so. So, God, why don't we do this? Verse 19, and then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. You know, he says there, Abe, don't worry. I'll take care of Ishmael, okay? But it's not going to be your suggestion. Isaac is going to be the one. Verse 21. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. God says, I understand what you're saying, Abraham, but I'm going to do the unexplainable. See, Abraham wants to be able to explain it. And so he says, how about Ishmael? You know, he's around. That would be good. But that's not what God's going to do. Number three, as you write this down, walking with God involves wrestling with the unexplainable. Walking with God involves wrestling with the unexplainable. One of the big unexplainables in my life is God calling me into the ministry. Basically, I'm a shy person. I really am. I'm not a great Bible scholar student. I'm not a straight-A student. I don't have all that background that some people have. And when God kind of was moving me that direction, I'm thinking, I don't have this stuff. God, you know this. You know I'm that's who I am. And I wanted God's direction in my life to be explainable. I wanted to be able to explain it. But what's happened is really kind of neat how God does this. As I wrestle with God in this thing, say, God, I don't know. I mean, this doesn't make sense. He changed my desires. You see, that's how it works. When you wrestle with God, he changes your desires to his desires, which become your desires. Isn't that neat how that works? That's how God, the process in your life. And it's still unexplainable, except by the grace of God, that I'm a pastor. I mean, it really is. Let me ask you something. What is unexplainable in your life except by the grace of God? I mean, you just have to stand back and just marvel what good God's doing, and you just have to say, you know what? That has got to be a God thing in my life, because I can't do that. That's not me. That's got to be a God thing. Here's a question I want you to kind of probe and really think through. If the Holy Spirit was taken out of your life, would there be a difference? Or would you even notice? Are you just on autopilot and just kind of going through life, doing it the way you want? Or are we really trusting the Holy Spirit and allowing him to guide and direct? See, to live in the unexplainable, you must be willing to listen to God. You got to live in the light of his promises. And you need to be willing for God to redirect your life, to make some changes. He goes on, verse 22. And when he'd finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael, and all those born in his household were bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. He did that on the very same day, right? When God finished, boom, this is what he does. Number four, write this one down. Walking with God involves obeying him in all things. Walking with God involves obeying him in all things. Abraham obeyed immediately. And I don't know that that was all that easy. As he's getting all these guys together and he's going to tell him what he's going to do, I'm not so sure. They all were excited. But Abraham says, this is God. This is what we're due. And boy, he does it immediately. You remember the old game that maybe you played as a kid or even in some adult groups and things we would do? It's called like a trust game, or has different names, I guess. But when a person stands in front of you and you stand behind them and they cross their arms and they just fall back, they just fall backwards and they trust that you're going to catch them. Remember how that game goes? Well, it's kind of a picture. Our obedience to God conveys our trust. And when we fall back, God will never let us fall because he's our Father. You see, that's how that works. He's our Father. He's going to catch you every single time. And when God lays out for you the unexplainable, and you trust him, and you fall back in his arms, realizing he alone has the explanation, then God is pleased. So, in these challenging times, may each of us make a decision to walk with God each day. And how do we do it? Living in the light of his promises. Developing courage and faith to listen for redirection. And finding yourself wrestling at times with God and having your desires changed. And you step out in faith to do the unexplainable. Depending on his promises to keep you as you do that, the unexplainable. And what are you doing? You're walking with God. May we walk with God this week. And may it be evident to those around that we might share then the love of Christ. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for these moments together. And I pray your blessed Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts. And now, Lord, may we be wise. And may we put into practice what we've just heard. That we've allowed your Spirit to speak truth into our lives. And Father, we're not folks that are going to live in fear. We live in faith. We thank you for the word of God, that it is true. We thank you for your promises. And now, Lord, help us to develop that sensitivity to your direction and leading, those promptings you give us through your very word. And Lord, might we look for opportunities to share then that love of Christ with the world around us. May we walk close to you. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.